I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday to go along with whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. If you're at the gym, on a run, on the drive, at work, we're here for
Shouts
you.
Shouts to the people in the shower. Got to give the,
in the shower,
one up to people the shower.
Absolutely. Celebrating a 97-90 win over the Mavericks that seemed harder than it should have been, but whatever, it's a W, the Celtics win. We're the Rainier Jays. You heard them, Sam Jan Packard, me, John Corrales. This is the post-game team. And, you know, not the greatest game in the world, but, you know, it was fun in its own way. It was basically German seven-footer night at the Garden. And, you know, I learned who Maxi Kleber was. And the Celtics won. So all in all, I'll take it as a positive.
Yeah, where did this Kleber guy come from?
No clue.
I swear to God, I watched the entire game against the Mavericks when they played in Dallas.
Yep.
I completely missed him. It's not often you just completely have never heard of a seven-foot German guy who was playing his ass off. He had a great game. 9 points, had a couple blocks. He was all over the place. But it's the real story of the game is the Celtics coming out and after a not-so-great first half where they gave up 57 points, to just completely clamp down and only give up 33 points in the second half is absolutely absurd. Their just defense just got a lot better, and they made the adjustments at halftime, and it's kind of what they've been doing all season. I feel like they've won every single third quarter that they've played, and you've grown to expect them to do that at this point. It's breaking distance at halftime. You just expect them to come out, figure out what was going on in the first half, and make the adjustments in the second half, and just the team, like the Mavericks, were shooting the lights out, especially from three in that second quarter, and in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, they had a lot less open threes. So credit goes to Brad Stevens, as it always does. All praise Brad Stevens, our dear leader, because the Celtics came out and made the adjustment, and then you know what? There's Kyrie Irving in the fourth quarter, nice person just to rely on when he didn't even have. He had like a very blah game for him, but he had that nice stretch in the fourth quarter where they needed baskets, and that's exactly what he does.
That's what Kyrie does, and I felt like they held on to him just long enough before they were like, all right, fine, we need him. But to your point, the Mavericks in the first half shot 6 of 13 from 3. I felt like every goddamn 3 was falling for them in the first half, but in the second half they were 3 of 15. And that's basically the difference. The Celtics defense did clamp down, and the Celtics had a nice run where they started hitting their own shots. So it was tough. I mean, they're throwing out lineups where it was Daniel Theis, Gershon Yabusele, Larkin, Smart, and Tito. That is not going to get you a lot of points. And then there was a stretch where I forget who Abdel Nader was in there for one of those guys. Like, without Jaylen Brown, without Marcus Morris, that is two guys that take 22, 23 shots a game and will get you 25 or so points per game. That's a lot to make up for those young guys. But look, they did what they had to do. They won a game, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, and the bench score like stepped up in terms of scoring. We saw Tito finish with 12. Shane Larkin, I thought, had a really great energy coming off the bench. He was making a lot of good defensive effort plays, and then you know what? He knocked down open threes, which is exactly what you kind of want your backup point guard to do, or just any guy coming off the bench. He made the best of his opportunity. Semi, I think if we're going to have a low point of the night, it's Semi coming in with a minus 14. I think other than Dirk, he was there, and Wesley Matthews. He was the worst on the Celtics in terms of plus minus. It felt like he missed a bunch of open threes, and I just have a bunch of memories of Harrison Barnes and Dirk shooting and making baskets over him. But that's like the biggest complaint of the night, is that Semi Ojeleye wasn't amazing and wasn't the best defender that Brad Stevens is ready to anoint him as. But the rest of the bench, starting with Daniel Theis, the guy I spent many minutes of last night's podcast talking about just how great he is, he continued to play with high energy, finished with 11 boards in only, 17 minutes and still 7 points. The Celtics, just the rest of the players stepped up and did what they needed to do. And even when you only get 2 points from Marcus Smart, there's everyone kind of did like filled in. And when you hold a team to 33 points in the second half, you're going to end up winning the majority of those basketball games.
Yeah. Let's get a couple of the bad things out of the way. I thought Marcus Smart was obviously tonight was one of his worst games of the season. And his first half was just confusing. Like it's like he didn't even want to be there in the first half. For some reason, Marcus Smart in the first half seemed like he had that play where he bounced. So he got fouled off of a pick and roll, and he just kind of bounced and just hopped a few times, and they called a travel. So, okay, fine. They don't call the foul. That doesn't mean you give up the possession. That's weird. And I honestly don't think I've ever even seen that before. Out of anybody, much less Marcus Smart. I don't know what's going on in his head tonight, but luckily it's a win and we don't have to dwell on it. But that one play really stood out for me as that's just a bad basketball play. Even though you got fouled, even though you might be frustrated, you don't just give up a possession. You play through the whistle. That's what every coach tells every kid. You play through the whistle. And if you don't hear it, then you just keep on going. And even if you pass it and you look at the ref, even if he gets a tech in that situation, I'd rather have that than whatever he did there. So Marcus Smart did not have a great night. Ojeleye, like you said, did not have a great night. The Celtics in general in the first half did not play great. I expected them to play a little bit better. And they did not score well for the most part without Kyrie Irving on the floor. But I'm willing to dismiss it all away because Brown and Morris weren't here, a starter, and right now basically your sixth man. That's fine. You won in regulation. That's fine. I'm willing to move on. But the Marcus Smart thing to me just kind of stuck out. Like, what the hell is he doing? That was bad.
Now, see, I have zero recollection of that play. So to me, it was just kind of a generic, like, Marcus Smart performance, but you describing it doesn't sound like something Marcus normally does of just not playing through the whistle. But I'm just looking at his stat line right now, and you're right, he in the first half was not good. He missed all his shots, was a minus nine, but then he finishes the game plus five. So in the second half he was plus 14, got all four of his assists in the second half, made his shot, and then just when you're struggling, what do? You go to the well. And the well for Marcus Smart is just throwing lobs to Al Horford. All of a sudden, they're the best alley-oop and duo of all time.
Yeah, I know. The number of alley-oops, you guys talked about it last night on the show. The Celtics have already surpassed last year's alley-oop total. So that and I remember early in the season when they were throwing lobs all over the place, I was thinking, like, they're very much on a path to obliterate last year's alley-oops. Smart to Horford has been amazing. Theis is getting in on the action. Theis, I don't even know how many dunks he has this season, but he has a lot. Theis is not a bad basketball player. Yeah, I think he's actually a good basketball player. And look, we go back to Danny Ainge just hitting on basically all of his signings from this past offseason. Theis, a winner. The drafting of Ojeleye, a winner. Bringing in Larkin. Look at what Larkin did tonight. Larkin, out of nowhere, again, is asked to come in and play 15 minutes. He shot 50% from the field, 60% from three, 11 points off the bench, again changing the tone. That's a huge deal. And Larkin, who could have made a lot more money in Europe, came to Boston and is doing these things just kind of out of nowhere. Yabusele came in and gave the Celtics good minutes. I don't know how much there is left to say with this team. They find a way, and I know it's the Mavericks, and they're terrible. But
Mavericks are bad. Mavericks are not a quality team. I'm just looking at their box score right now, and it's
bad.
Dreadful.
Yeah, they're bad. But again, you're missing a starter, and you're missing your sixth man, and that and not even that. Let's remember, they're also missing Gordon Hayward. So they're missing the guy that they, their biggest free agent signing, they're missing another starter, and they're missing their sixth man. That's gonna be a problem against any team in the NBA. Can we just, by the way, talk about the Gordon Hayward picture today? Him sitting at a computer with his daughter and no boot, sitting there with his bare foot, ankle pointing, foot pointing in the right direction. Everything seems good.
Now, you'll be shocked to find this out, but I'm not actually a medical doctor. So I was unable to diagnose Gordon Hayward's foot from that photo. But, you know, you would expect to be him to be in a cast of some sort. So that was – it was quite odd. I don't think he's going to come back this season. But then Dan Greenberg of Barstool Sports tweeted out an old thing of Kyrie wishing him well. And there's a real spooky – 3/23 date in the message, and I hadn't seen that before, so I don't know. I'm real willing to buy into conspiracy theories, especially ones that put a very talented basketball player, but I don't know. Like, can someone who knows anything about the healing of broken foots explain why Gordon Hayward's not in a cast right now?
Well, I mean, I also am not a medical doctor.
What?
But it's been 7 weeks, and The cast thing, I think, is done. Like, he was in a cast early, and then he got out of the cast pretty quickly, and they put him in the boot. And Brad Stevens did say before the game tonight that he's in a boot most of the time, and he's allowed to take it off sometimes. And I suppose when you're sitting at a desk with your daughter gaming, then you don't need to be in the boot. So I think he's okay. But Seven weeks is a fair enough amount of time for a guy who's, 27, peak athletic condition, with the top medical teams putting his ankle back together. I think 7 weeks is a fair amount of time for him to be able to put pressure on that ankle without collapsing and having it fall apart on him. But that's my non-medical doctor opinion.
You could have fooled me. My opinion is that if he's going to be such an intense gamer, that he should be wearing protection while he games, because who knows what his reaction is going to be. Maybe he'll just get real excited and kick out, and then he won't be wearing a boot, and he'll be set back 2 weeks. So I just, Gordon, for everyone, just if you're listening, I know you are, just wear the boot while you game. Make us all feel safer. It's like wearing a seatbelt.
No, totally. Even wear the seatbelt. It's like when you're at Dave and Buster's and you're playing one of those driving games, you got to wear the seatbelt, because you can never be too safe.
You got to be in the right mindset. You know, you can't be all reckless out there.
Speaking of social media, which is where this Gordon Hayward picture was shared, follow us, the Locked On Celtics podcast, on social media. On Twitter, we're at @Rainin_Jays. We're at @RaininJays on Facebook. If you are a Facebook user, maybe you're one of our, you know, some people just, they prefer Facebook. So the Rain and Jays are on Facebook. Search for us there. And then we're also on Instagram. If you prefer to look at pictures, we post pictures all the time. That one is Locked On Celtics. And it's just a matter of, you know, names and whatever. But Locked On Celtics on Instagram, Rain and Jays on Facebook, Rainin_Jays on Twitter. Those are all the relevant social media outlets. Go follow us there. You know, we'll connect there. Talk to us. We chat. Whatever. Go do that.
Before we get to the Reigning Jays, I just want to introduce a new segment I'm calling Let's Gush About Jason Tatum for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. Should I start a clock on this? Are we going to do this exactly to 5 minutes?
No. I feel like we can just our love for Jason Tatum knows no bounds, so we can just talk about it forever we long. But I don't think he hits the rim anymore. When he shoots, he does. It's always a swish, and it makes no sense. Tonight, we saw him, his his rebounding was really the most impressive thing. He had an absurd amount of, at one point he was out rebounding the entire Mavericks team. That was pretty early on in the quarter, but he just continues to make the right plays. And his defense tonight, it's only showing up as one steal, but I swear, at least in my notes, he was like the help guy in a couple steals. He did some very impressive things on the defensive end, led to some easy transition baskets. He continues not to be bad, which is amazing for a 19-year-old. And there's one crazy thing is that he has still, like, despite how good he's been, I don't think he's scored more than 20 points this entire year, which is kind of wild.
I will confirm that as we are speaking. But, yeah, you know, I guess I'll go back to everybody's biggest complaint about Tatum. It's that we want him to shoot more. And I thought tonight we might see a more aggressive Tatum, but he took 11 shots tonight, which is only, two more than he usually takes? I wanted to see Tatum take, 16 or 17 shots. I thought with Brown out and Morris out, he would go and have a little bit more aggressive game, but he didn't. He was just basically himself. Yeah, he's averaging 9.1 field goal attempts, so he upped it two shots to 11 field goal attempts. And let's look at his game log, and we'll sort that by points. He has scored 20 points or more three times this season against the Knicks.
Oh, man, I was so wrong.
Against the Knicks in October. On October 24th, he had 22. Against Atlanta, that was the big comeback. That's where he had if I recall correctly, that was in Atlanta, November 6th, a month ago exactly. I think he had a couple of threes. Remember, he had those corner threes that put Atlanta away. And then October 28th, he had 20 points against the Miami Heat. So, it's been a while. It's been a month since he scored 20 points. So and he hasn't scored much more than 20. So I will excuse you from from being wrong necessarily.
Well, I appreciate that because I was very wrong.
You were wrong. Okay, you were wrong, but you weren't so egregiously wrong because it's not like he scored 40 and you're like, I don't think he's even scored 20. And it was so long ago that it's easy to forget because he's so low key when he scores. And I thought for a while tonight, I'm like, early on, I knew he was like in the first quarter, he was chomping glass. He had like 5 rebounds early on right away. And he had like all of his free throws. He was 5 of 6 from the free throw line tonight. That was all in the first quarter. And he had 5 points on one shot attempt in the first quarter, which was purely Jason Tatum. He finished with 17 points, which was tied with Al Horford for second on the Celtics tonight. And it's just quiet. I wanted Tatum to be even more aggressive. The steal and the dunk was like the big, big highlight. And he had a clutch three, like a key three down the stretch. But yeah, I'm just want more Tatum. He's like, he leaves you wanting more. It's like the Seinfeld episode where you do something good. You're like, all right, thank you, everybody. I'm out. Later. And like, no, give me more. Give me more shots. Take 20 shots, Jason Tatum.
See, I feel like I'm coming in on the other side where I just want him to finish as the most efficient scorer in the league because that would be awesome. So, I'm kind of okay with him just taking the shots he knows he can make and just him refusing to hit rim. It's if the Celtics really need it, and I think the second unit eventually is going to need him to step up to be their go-to guy. I don't know. Maybe they can rely on Mook Morris for the entire year. But you're right. He should be more aggressive. The thing that I saw tonight, which was just the new Tatum wrinkle. He got called for a real BS foul call and was pissed off. And I'm always seeing the anger come from him. And that led to a great moment in Brad Stevens' lip reading that you captured brilliantly.
Yes, that was the there was a travel before that. It was an obvious travel before that, and the foul was called on Jason Tatum, and the camera zoomed in on Brad. I thought they were calling a jump ball, and I think Brad Stevens thought they were calling a jump ball, and they decided to call a foul, and then Brad Stevens says, foul? After he walked his ass off? Like, that was just pure Brett. Like, as opposed to the other night where I thought they were calling a jump ball. Like, Brad Stevens has these great moments in lip reading after what we think are going to be jump balls. There was one against Kyrie, and they called a foul against Kyrie. And Brad Stevens said, well, that's just outstanding basketball. That's what that is. And I was like, that's pure Brad. And this one, every once in a while, like, we all like to say, oh, Brad's an aw, shucks, golly gee kind of guy. No, Brad curses. Brad curses a lot, and we don't see it. But when Brad gets pissed off, he lets it fly. He seems innocent. He comes off as innocent. But there are plenty of expletives. That swear jar is full, and it's emptied out and filled up again. It's not like he's Kevin Garnett, but he's not like golly gee Willikers either.
He's not making the players cry and leave practice and ruin their career. Color me shocked, but I think if I had to like have one experience of like the ideal way to watch a game is to just get those seats that are courtside right next to the Celtics bench and just be able to listen to Brad for an entire game. I think that would be like the most entertaining and fascinating experience. So if anyone is incredibly wealthy, if anyone's celebrating the Republican tax plan because they're about to get thousands and millions of dollars in tax breaks and can afford those courtside seats, let me know because I'll be your guest. I will not talk politics the entire night because I will be focusing on Brad Stevens.
I will say, side note, political side note, I don't think that tax plan is going to pass. But
whoa.
Yep. That's
a good take, but I think that's enough politics for the day.
Yep, that's my side note. It's going into committee. Both bills got to be reconciled, and the Senate bill is full of holes. And I'm just saying, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you're a Republican and you're celebrating, don't celebrate yet. If you're a Democrat and you're like, ah, crap, don't be all crap yet. That's my little political take. I don't think it's going to work out.
Anyway. I also have a political PSA, and I'm sorry, I just said no politics, but I would just say anyone out there, go watch some Schoolhouse Rock, I'm Just a Bill on Capitol Hill, and you'll learn about the entire conference and committee process. It's very informative.
Okay, let's dive into the Rain and Jays hashtag. And let's just start off with the most recent one. At Life of Cahill, how do you guys feel about Sean Grandy giving Kyrie the Dr. K nickname? News to me. I haven't heard it,
but I'm supportive of anyone giving someone a random nickname, so I'm for it. Yeah, Dr. K, why not? Sure. Are there other famous Dr. Ks that he's referencing that I'm unaware of?
I'm not familiar with the Dr. K. I'm familiar with Mr. K, which was what my dad named his last restaurant in Seekonk, Massachusetts. But I don't. I'm going to Google Dr. K, and let's see. I've got Dr. K's exotic animal ER from Nat Geo. Is that what they mean?
That could be related to Kyrie Irving. My primary care provider is Dr. Trevor K, Kaye from South Africa. Shouts to him. But you know what? I'm all for someone just giving random nicknames. If it catches on, it catches on. If the people like it, you got to go with it.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want any variation of the King and the Fourth for Kyrie Irving. That was Isaiah's thing. And even if Kyrie becomes the fourth quarter, like, stud that Isaiah, you got to give him something else. So I'm all for Dr. K as opposed to any variations on Isaiah Thomas nicknames or even comparisons to Isaiah Thomas. I don't want to hear it. Like, Isaiah was his own thing, and it was awesome. Let's just enjoy how awesome that used to be, and whatever. So,
Kyrie doesn't even believe in time, so how can he be the king of a thing that doesn't even exist? It just doesn't make any sense. It's a nonsensical nickname. You're right. Speaking of Isaiah, everyone should go and watch the Book of Isaiah. I think the latest chapter is out. It's just
chapter four.
Awesome.
I posted it on RedsArmy.com. It's basically an ode to Boston. He said that leaving Boston hurt because he fell in love with the city. And I will say that it hurts from the city's perspective because Celtics fans, for the most part, fell in love with him. And I wrote on RedsArmy.com second blatant plug of this, that it for me, having done this for more than a decade, it, putting content out there for people to read, and it's kind of like sports gonzo journalism, that you have an obvious your rooting interest, but I try to pull myself back and say, okay, I want the Celtics to win, but I can look at this team objectively and say, this is good, this is bad. Even players that I like are doing bad things. But Isaiah Thomas tapped into something last season that just, it pulled every bit of pure fandom that I had back out, and it just, I bought in. Like, it's like a drug. It's like being off a drug for a while, and then all of a sudden I'm hooked again. And it was kind of fun to have that feeling again with Isaiah Thomas, and then to have him traded, I was like, God damn it. It was the last real, true, genuine connection between player and city that I'd seen in decades. More than KG, more than Paul Pierce, because it happened so quickly that Pierce had to kind of be coaxed into being a Boston guy. Isaiah bought in so fast that it was a much more pure connection than even Pierce's connection. We forget that before 2007, there were tons of trade Pierce rumors, and you know, for even after the stabbing, even after all that he did, there was just a different feeling. So that video, that Book of Isaiah chapter 4, brought all of those feelings back, and it was just kind of emotional in a lot of ways. It was good to see that behind the scenes, and it's really just amazing to me to see a professional athlete, a guy who makes millions, a guy who's been traded multiple times, a guy who understands the business more than anyone, to say, this hurt me personally because I fell in love with the city, with the fans, with the way everything was, with being a Celtic, with putting on that jersey, with playing under those banners. It was everything you ask a fan from as a fan. It was everything you ask of a player. It was everything that you project onto a player. And you say, if I was playing, this is how I would feel as a player. Isaiah Thomas captured all of that stuff. So that was a much longer rant than I expected, but it was just...
He's that likable. He's that likable of a guy.
He is just pure. Maybe that's the best compliment I can give Isaiah Thomas. He is... He'll tell you what he thinks. He's honest. His emotions are real. And you don't see that in sports very often anymore. So... I'm just going to give Isaiah Thomas a shout out, and it's the best compliment I think I can give any professional athlete right now. He is absolutely pure. So, okay, moving on. Space Cowboy at Troy Matthew. I never notice how many German bigs go at it when the Celtics and Mavericks play.
That's because Kleber didn't exist until tonight.
I think Maxi Kleber is like, he was genetically engineered in kind of like, I know he's Russian, but in fictional, but the Ivan Drago lab from Rocky IV. It's basically the only thing I can get. Maxi Kleber had one of the best games I've ever seen a guy play, at least in the first half against the Celtics. Hold on, let me pull up his first half numbers. 9 points, 4 rebounds, 4 blocks in the first half. Overall, he had, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 5 blocks, and a steal and an assist. Jesus! But, yeah. Big German party tonight at the Garden.
Yeah, I noticed there wasn't a Germany night like there was a Greek night.
It should have been.
I think my theory is that Dirk Nowitzki is just using this season to filter all his German secrets about basketball to Maxi Kleber, and Kleber will just take over the league like Dirk did, because he came out of nowhere.
Interesting. Like, he's downloading. So it basically, it's like he's plugged the thumb drive into Maxi Kleber, and it's taking this entire season to download all of the information into him.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know what, the league should be terrified, because if he can learn like a quarter of the things that Dirk Nowitzki knows, he's going to be dangerous. But you know what, I'm waiting to give my full judgment on Maxi Kleber, just because I still don't know if he actually exists. He could have been a hologram out there.
He might have been. And then from Robert Denton, he spoke German on Twitter. So, all right, here goes. He said something like, here's my one. Tice ist gutes Gefühl, which is, I guess, Tice is nice in German. And I totally botched that, but, you know, you tweeted
it. It's not your fault. You don't speak German.
I don't speak German. Although there is a German restaurant right down the street from me. They have some of the best beer I've ever had in my life. It's awesome.
Shouts to them for drinking beer. Beer's good.
Yeah. German food is like a lot of meat. They eat a lot of meat in Germany. Not a lot of vegetables.
That's why Maxi Kleber can dunk on people.
Maxi Kleber, he's tons of protein, big combat muscle for, you know, whatever that is in Dallas and Germany. What else do we have here? Get your junk drawer ready, because I think that is basically it. Tom Lawrence at Poya is emissary. While the game is looking more iffy, I thought, well, losing could be good, would help with the Lakers pick. Is this thinking woke or is it broke? Not sure if this is Rain and Jays or Rain and Junk.
It'll serve as a great transition piece to the drunk drawer. I mean, it's a lot of sports optimism, which I can get behind, but it's never it's a little broke, because you just don't want to justify losing to the Mavericks. Like, the Lakers pick is not worth losing to the Mavericks. That would be atrocious.
Well, okay.
I mean, it'd be nice a little bit for the Lakers pick. Okay, you know what? It's kind of woke. I'll give you. I talked myself in a circle there, but let's get to the junk drawer. First, Kevin Bacon was in the building tonight dancing to Footloose. That was a surprise. But I guess I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite Kevin Bacon movie and why is it not Apollo 13?
I don't have a favorite Kevin Bacon movie.
I literally can't think of another Kevin Bacon movie right now.
He's been in like everything. I would say does A Few Good Men, because that was Tom Cruise and
He was in that. Tommy Lee Jones, I think?
And no, it was...
Jack Nicholson.
Jack golfer. Nicholson. Yeah, Jack Nicholson took a break from winning a Masters to being
the Golden Bear was great as that Army lieutenant.
But he was in that movie, and that was a good movie. It wasn't driven by Kevin Bacon, but...
Can't think of a Kevin Bacon movie, and the whole game is called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like, he's supposed to be in everything, and I got nothing. Maybe I just don't know shit about fuck, but...
I can look up his IMDb page.
I'm saying it's not worth it. Let's keep going with the junk drawer. Kevin Bacon talk for the day.
For your six Degrees of Kevin Bacon? Is that the...
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Bacon was in Animal House. Bit player in Animal House. Bit player in Animal House. But anyway, for all of your, I have been in the same building as Kevin Bacon. So I didn't meet him, but he came into my TV station. And so we were in the same building. So I can serve as your first degree. And now all of you can say, I listened to a podcast with John Corrales. John Corrales is in the same building as Kevin Bacon. You all now have a second degree of Kevin Bacon. So congratulations.
Hey, that's what we do for folks, is we give them better connections to Kevin Bacon. All right. Speaking of just random things that they watch, there's a new segment during the one of the breaks is just Netflix update with the Celtics. And Kyrie told everyone he watched the most recent thing he watched on Netflix is half of I Origins, and he didn't finish it. And I have no idea what I Origins is and why he couldn't finish it. But like, what is he talking about here? Like, what, he just naming Netflix shows that no one has ever heard of. It was classic Kyrie, because it just made no sense. What is I don't want to find out what iOrigins is.
Well,
it's better as a mystery. Yeah, now someone's going to tell me.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, because I just Googled it. The description on IMDb of iOrigins is: a molecular biologist and his laboratory partner uncover evidence that may fundamentally change society as we know it. So of course Kyrie Irving was watching this show we've never heard of, where people discover evidence that fundamentally changes society as we know it. God damn it, that's the most Kyrie thing ever to watch.
And he only watched half of it, so he didn't even fully evaluate the theory. He was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
He watched enough to sound woke to the media.
He was very woke on that segment. Next thing in the junk drawer, Yabu knocking down a three, and then I haven't seen evidence of this. I saw people tweet about it, but apparently he dabbed immediately after knocking down a three. And until I see video, I actually see video of the dancing bear dance. We got the gif of him dancing pregame, and that was just like,
that was fun.
Put it into my veins. I need to see a celebratory dab gif, and I'm shocked we haven't seen it yet.
I don't know if it exists, but I have seen the video of Al Horford's reaction on the bench. And if you look, he's kind of doing it from the back, but he kind of like gestures to Kyrie, like laughing that Yabu was dabbing. It's my best circumstantial evidence that actually happened.
Well, I saw many people tweeted about it, so he had to have done something like that. And the next thing that Yabu-centric is, I think it was like the next two possessions down the court, he's in the game, and basically you have Kyrie's in the post with Yogi Feller guarding him, and it's basically clearly an ISO Kyrie possession. And you just have Yabu at the top of the key calling for the ball, and it was just like perfect. Like everything this guy does is entertaining. Just he made one shot, he was hot. It was time for a Yabu heat check, and he knew it. He wanted it.
anything Yabu is, we could lead the podcast with it.
We probably should. He deserves his own segment. Wesley Matthews tonight had some interesting things. He'll come up later in the junk drawer, but he attempted to inbound the ball off a Celtics player's back and immediately led to a turnover. But I respect the moxie. Like, that's always a cool like playground move that, you know, it's if you pull it off, you look like a genius. And if you don't pull it off, you look dumb. And he looked dumb. But I respect him, his willingness to try it.
I did pull that off once in a game.
Ooh.
I did. See, it was
I
fun.
Bet you felt real cool.
It was. You really do feel like you just got something over on a lot of people. And it's entirely possible that I didn't. I remember this play distinctly. It was a baseline play, and I laid it in. I may not have even established myself as inbounds, but the fact that I had thought of that in that situation, no one was expecting it, even the referees, so I got away with it. It's just, you feel like you just stole, like you pickpocketed somebody. It was awesome.
You duped everyone, and it feels good. Here's my new working theory. Last junk drawer, I complained a bunch about the EDM music that they were playing at the Garden. But tonight, there was none of that. It was just all kind of classic songs. My theory is the guy who controls the music at Celtics game is a reigning Jays fan and was doing that as a direct response to me. Now, that might be some extreme narcissism on my part, but I think that's kind of what the junk drawer is. So if you are the Celtics DJ and you do listen to the reigning Jays, just give me a signal at the next home game and I'll know what it is. And I think that that'd be a real cool, maybe the reigning Jays could guest DJ one game. That's a great idea.
Let's not go crazy here, but I think the best signal would be the sample that Millie's uses in our intro music.
Ooh.
Okay? So he uses the Ed OG and the Bulldogs sample. So if somehow in the next home game we get that sample, then we know. Because it's a hip-hop sample. It's a Boston sample. Ed OG and the Bulldogs, one of Boston's finest. If you drop that, so it's a little message. You don't have to – everybody knows, you know, whatever. If you hear that in the next game, somehow, somewhere, even if it's during a timeout, introduction, pregame, somewhere in that game experience, then we know that the person who controls the music is a Raymond James fan. That's the challenge.
Or they could just play Pump Up the Jam and then just like scratch it on Jam, 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 Jam. And that would be an easy message. Either or. That, it's up to you, Celtics DJ man.
That was extreme narcissism, which I wholly endorse and I love the idea. But if it wasn't extreme narcissism before, now it is.
See, I've been spending too much time with the kid, Jay King, so the extreme narcissism is rubbing off on me. I think that's
nice low-key shot at Jay. I love it.
Low-key shots at Jay is what gets this podcast going. Tito dunking at the end of the game to kind of seal it was just badass because I didn't know he could do it. And even though he has the most insane jumping ability out of anyone on the Celtics when he goes up for rebounds, for some reason he's not doesn't yam constantly. And today he did it on a fast break and it just kind of brought the house down. So I'm all for that. It felt like he was a more explosive or more aggressive in transition than he has been earlier in the year. He's definitely, when he was a rookie or he was younger, he would get in trouble by kind of being too aggressive and just running downhill. It seems like he's really learned to control his pace. But tonight, I felt like he was really kind of being, I'll say it again, explosive. I think he just was attacking a lot. And so to see him capitalize on that dunk to end the game was fantastic. And then to wrap it up, we come back to Wes Matthews hitting a three when the game is out of luck. It's mighty suspect because the line was, I've seen it anywhere from 6.5 to 7.5. And he hit a three at the end of the game to pull it within 7. It feels like a directly a gambling related issue. And I'm not much of a gambler. I occasionally will dabble. But if you had Celtics -7 or minus anything above that tonight, you got to be furious with Wes Matthews right now.
Wow. That is why I don't bet sports, because stupid shit like that happens. And it's, of course, obviously that's like very conspiracy theorist and people will be like, God damn it. I knew that was going to, but it's dumb. It's some guy just decided he wanted to take a three at the last second and it screws you out of money. I'd rather give my money away on the draft app, which tonight I think I'm doing.
Tonight, we can take the scores right now. I was going to win back some of the money I've just been giving away to people, but
I'm pulling it up right now. As of 10:35 p.m. in a six-person draft, I am in sixth place. So, but I have Carl Anthony Towns, apparently Carl Anthony Towns needs to have a 70-point game for me to come back and win this.
I am up 6 points. I'm currently in first place. I'm up 6 points, but the person in second place has an entire game of Lou Williams to play. So
yeah, we're in different games. Yeah, usually we're in the same game, but in yours, you're in your own game tonight.
That's what happened on draft. That many chances to take our money. Almost daily, there's chances to take our money. You just download the draft app and use promo code LO Celtics, and we're basically just giving away money.
I won the last time, though. I won the last one. Which I was on the verge of having to make another deposit, and I won, and it was like a $13 one. So now I've got like a few weeks of giving my money away again. So whatever, it's all fun. It's all fun. Yes, use the promo code LO Celtics. Go on the draft app, draft.com, all that stuff. Any last thoughts?
No, the Celtics are going on the road for a little, nice little swing, and I actually, Jam on the Road, will be joining them in Detroit and Chicago, so I'm excited for that. You guys will get to see here Jam, first time being on the road. I'm going to be learning all I can from the kid, Jay King, about what it means to be on the road, and it'll be exciting. You'll live vicariously through me.
Fantastic. All right, so we'll wrap up the show. Celtics win, beat the Dallas Mavericks 97-90. That is their, 22nd win of the season? Is that right? And so they are now 22-4. Holy shit, they're 22-4. They've won a couple games more than the Dallas Mavericks. They're just cruising right now. Next up, though, the San Antonio Spurs on Friday night. I will be talking to my buddy Jeff Garcia from the Locked On Spurs podcast. He's one of my best friends, and happy to have him on the network. And so watch for us to be talking on a podcast soon, and follow us on Twitter. He's at Jeff G Spurs Zone, and we'll be watching the game together. We've got plans to go watch the game together, so that'll be a fun night too. If you are not a subscriber to the Locked On Celtics podcast, you know what to do. Go search for the Locked On Celtics podcast wherever you find your podcast. If you are a subscriber, 5 stars, please, and a good rating. At the very least, share the podcast. Even if you don't rate or write, share. Tell everyone, and I know some of you have. I've seen it on Twitter. Thank you. Share the podcast. Let everybody know that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.